Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Bulky Blue Podcast. Today, we're going to be going over the Leicester preview in the Premier League. So, first of all, I'm going to go on the press conference like I normally do. Give you my lineup. I remember what I said yesterday that I think that I'll give two lineups. One that I think will be played, but one I want to be played. However, that's going to slightly change because I've got two lineups that I want to be played. That I want to either try one of them out. So I'll also be giving the transfer news and then a bit at the end regarding certain comments made by Simon Johnson. So starting off with the press conference, he got asked about team news almost straight away. Christensen's fit, Conte's out. Not really much more I can say on that. Then got asked about Tomori. Said he's a developing player. Last season we had four centre-backs. This season we've got five centre-backs. It's always going to be hard to fit him in. That he might go out on loan and that they'll try and find the best path. He didn't comment on whether the deal to AC Milan had an option to buy it or not. But all we can do is hope it hasn't, because Tomori has got a bright future and I really hope it's with us. I want him. Ultimately, I think Christensen should go and have Tomori as the fourth centre-back so that he can learn under Silva, develop like that. But at the end of the day, there's only so much you can develop on the training pitch. You need to play your game. You need to earn your trade and etc. He then got asked about Mount. And the can't remember who it was that was asking him the question, but said that does Mount help raise the confidence in and around the team because of like how he plays? And Lampard says that he does. That he has a good training work ethic and all that. And I'm giving just footnotes here, but he said that we've been short up front lately and that it will happen. But when you're not performing well, those players look to players like Mason to go, right, he's doing that, I need to do that. And then they up the game. So it is what it is. I mean, as he said, and I agree, that although we've been short up front, it will happen. It's a matter of when. He then got asked about Leicester being in the title race. He said they are, but he also said there is a very open title race, which, again, you have to agree with. Because look at the top of the table, you got Arsenal are below us on the same points. Granted, we've got a game in hand, but there's the top half of the table is determined by like 5-6 points or something like that. It's stupidly close. I think maybe 10, actually. But still, three games in a row and you could be at the top towards the top of the table. So who knows? But he also said that Brendan Rodgers is a good manager. He did say a bit more on Brendan Rodgers later on in the press conference, saying that Rodgers was helpful to Lampard as a player. And that he always knew that Rodgers would be a good coach and a good manager. They then asked him about Timo Werner and that to keep him from like basically shutting down, Lampard speaks to him. He has to manage him. And that Tarana said that Timo, his goal contributions are under a spotlight because of his name, basically. And that any other striker who hasn't got the big name would get away with it. Then it was Moose, and he asked, he started saying that Timo's being compared to Torres and Morata. And immediately, Lampard basically shut that down, saying that, like, he didn't even mention Morata. Like, Lampard didn't elaborate on Morata at all. And then he said that with Torres, like, each striker has the different paths and all that. And then he said that Torres was vital in the Champions League win. He struggled in front of goal, but he was vital in the Champions League win. So you can tell he holds El Nino in high esteem because of that. And the Europa League win as well. Torres was vital in that. Let's not get it twisted. But Lampard then said that he must basically keep repeating and going again. And like that if he keeps focused, his time will come. And that he predicts a great future for Timo Werner at Chelsea. So I believe he's right. And then finally he got asked about Mount's critics, and they said he doesn't understand where they're coming from. Basically, just because he's not as exciting and flary, like doing stepovers and doing flicks and tricks, that people think that he isn't as good a player as he is. Said that Mount's got a great attitude. He ignores outside like criticisms and hate and all that. Like, well, not criticism, ignores the hate, basically. And then he point blank went, the critics are wrong about Mason Mount. And again, I tend to agree with him. The hate that Mount gets is so unjustified, it's unreal. It really is. Because he does the ugly stuff, the unsung stuff. The stuff that Kante didn't get noticed for about 3 seasons. And then all of a sudden people are like, well, actually, look at him in the team and out of the team. He's not the same player as Kante. They do different things. But what Mount does is, as I said in the last one, he's vital to how we play. Like, the pressing, the energy, the never say die attitude. The only way you're getting him off that pitch, like, or the only way you're going to stop him, is a serious injury. Put it that way, because otherwise he's just going to give his hardest every time. And that's what I was saying on the last one. Regardless of if he has a bad game or a good game or what, he always tries. And I again, as I said, I agree with Lampard. I do believe the critics are wrong. The haters are wrong in what they say about Mace. And I think it's really unjustified. Actually, there was one final bit in the press conference. It was about Danny Drinkwater, because he has gone on loan to a Turkish team named Kasımpaşa. I hope I haven't just butchered that name, but I'm pronouncing it how it's spelt. Yeah, he's gone to them till the end of the season on loan. They're mid-table in the Turkish league, the Super League, I think is what it's called anyway. And yeah, I mean, best of luck to him. As I've said before, I don't think he ever really did much wrong in a Chelsea shirt. He just never really got played. And that is it for the press conference. Now, going into the lineups, there's two that I want to see, that I personally want to see one of them, either or. So I'll run through the first one. And it's a 4-3-3. Mendy in goal. Chilwell. Reece James as our fullbacks. Zuma. And either Rudiger or Silva. It depends basically on how fit Silva is. If Silva's fit, play Silva, basically. And it's the same with my second lineup as well, because the back four and goalkeeper stays the same on both. If Silva's fit, play Silva. If not, play Rudiger next to Zuma in the centre-back. in the 4-3-3 that I want, in the midfield three, I want Gilmore, because Kante's injured, Havertz and Mount as a midfield three. What I think will happen will be 4-3-3 with Jorginho, Kovacic and Mount. That's what I think will happen. So Gilmore and Havertz won't start. However, on merit, Jorginho and Kovacic don't deserve to start. They haven't been playing well at all. Whereas Gilmore has come in and done a job every time he's played. Havertz is in good form with a goal and two assists in his last couple of games. So there's that. And my front three in the 4-3-3 is Ziyech right wing, Hudson-Odoi left wing, which I know Pulisic's out, but again, he hasn't been playing well lately. Hudson-Odoi's been on absolute fire. And the one up front, Timo. Because Leicester aren't just going to sit back. They're going to be a bit more open. So can flick it in behind him, flick it in behind the centre backs, utilise Werner's pace and go at them. The other formation I've gone with that I want is a 4-2-3-1. Because let's be real, the 4-3-3, it worked for a period, but it hasn't really been great, in a sense. We've been struggling with it lately. So, as I said, the back four and goalkeeper stays the same. Mendy, Silva, Zuma, Reece and Chile. I've gone for a double pivot of Billy and Mason. Because against Fulham, once all the subs happened, Mace actually played quite a bit deeper. And I think next to Billy, it will utilise both of their strengths. Like one can go, one can sit, vice versa. I've then gone Hudson-Odoi left, Ziyech right, Kai as the 10, behind either Timo or Tammy. So, because again, it's a difficult one because Tammy has been good lately and Timo is desperate for a goal. So it's finding the right balance between the two. Preferably, if it was me, I'd go 4-2-3-1 with Timo up front. Mace, Billy, pivot, I'd go with a 4-2-3-1, personally. But I think it'll be 4-3-3, as I said, with Jorginho, Kovacic and Mount as a midfield three. Werner and Hudson-Odoi won't start. It'll be probably Pulisic left wing and either Tammy or Giroud up front. That's what I think is going to happen, but who knows? We'll have to wait and see. He threw us a curveball the other night with the Fulham lineup. Who knows? He might even throw Christensen in there. But at the end of the day, as I said, it's Lampard's decision. The one that he I'll think of it in a sec. The decision that I really hope he doesn't make is I just hope he doesn't play Alonso, which I doubt very highly that he'll do. So Alonso hasn't been seen since the West Brom game, 3-3. And I've spoken about that already. And I hope Alonso gets transferred out before it becomes toxic in the dressing room. But that's the lineup section done anyway. Before I get on to the debate about what Simon Johnson said, firstly, I'm going to give my score prediction. And I must admit, I'm not sure if it's home or away. If it's at their ground, I'll say 2-2. If we're at home, I'd go 2-1 us. I really don't think we'll keep a clean sheet. But that's not us being bad. I think that's a testament to how good their players are. The likes of Maddison, Vardy, Tielemans is very underrated. Who's that other kid they've got? Harvey Barnes. I think he's very underrated. They've got some really big, like, good players that can hurt us. And we have to be very, very careful. That's another thing, actually. Rudiger might play due to the pace of Vardy. Silva, if he plays, he'll have to give himself an extra few yards because Vardy will rinse him otherwise. Whereas Rudiger has got the legs to, at the very least, keep up with Vardy for a good chunk. So, who knows? But, yeah, so I'm going to predict a 2-1 if we're at home, a 2-0 if it's at Leicester's ground, King Power. But moving into the Lampard-in-Lampard-out debate, something Simon Johnson said on TalkSport the other day, and I rate Simon Johnson really highly, honestly I do, but this I must disagree with, because it wasn't so much reporting it. To me, it just seemed like stirring the pot a bit to sort of be noted. That's what it felt like anyway. Because it was, he turned around and said on TalkSport, I think it was, or it might have been The Athletic, one of the two, that Lampard, that the board are looking at replacements, basically, in that. And it came out after the Fulham win that it's only a matter of time before Lampard goes. Now, the first thing that I want to point out is, one, it's getting a lot of attention, right? I don't understand why. And I'll elaborate on that in the fact that we know what our board are like. We sacked Roberto Di Matteo 6 months after winning the Champions League and FA Cup. We sacked Ancelotti for finishing second. We sacked Sarri when he won the Europa League. We sacked Conte when he won 2 trophies in 2 seasons. Like, we sacked Jose Mourinho 3 months after winning the Premier League. Granted, he was in 16th, but point is, we've got such a renowned record of sacking managers after they've done good. So when we were on the bad run of form, like, especially over Christmas, and with the City result as well, it wouldn't have been a surprise if Roman pulled the trigger, basically. So the whole thing with Simon Johnson saying it's inevitable, maybe it is. But the point I'm trying to make is that we know this. Lampard knows this. But when we're on the back of a win, back-to-back wins in the Cup and League respectively, it doesn't need to be said. That's my point. It doesn't need to be said, because all it does is it fuels the hate for Lampard out even more. And I saw a tweet today. I'm not going to name the guy, because at the end of the day, I don't want him getting abused, because that's not what I'm here to do. But he turned around and said that he hoped Leicester that Chelsea lose so that we can sack Lampard. Now, for me, that's not a Chelsea fan. Because a fan lives and breathes the club. You support them through thick and thin, whether they win or lose. If they lose, you go, right, okay, it sucks, but we'll pick it up, we'll go again. If we win, you're like, yes, come on, fuck, it's the best feeling in the world. But to actually want your team to lose so that your owner can sack your best ever player is it doesn't sit right with me personally. And I've said it before, Lampard will be hurting more than any of us if we lose, because he feels this, what it is to be Chelsea. He loves the club to pieces. You can see it on his face anytime he talks about the club, and he's play, especially his playing career, or when he talks about like some good results we've had, or when you see, or when the cameras are on him, one, like if we're losing, you see his face is just like, it hurts him. And we've wanted managers gone because they don't understand what it feels like to be Chelsea. We wanted Benitez gone because he was Liverpool and he weren't Chelsea. We wanted Conte gone in this, after the second season, because he lost his passion and his drive and he was hurting us. We wanted Sarri gone because he ain't a Chelsea man. And now we want Lampard gone when he epitomises what it means to be a Chelsea man and what it means to be a blue. And they want him gone. I personally don't get it. It's not catastrophic. And that's my point I'm trying to make. People going on as if we're bottom of League Two, we're about to be relegated into non-professional football. We're not. We're in the Premier League, we're in the Champions League still, we're in the FA Cup still. We've got world-class players like Werner, Ziyech, Havertz, Silva. Like, they're world-class players. And they came here because of Lampard. Not because of our name. Not because of our club. Werner would have had Bayern Munich snap him up in an instant. Same as Havertz. Ziyech could have walked into Real Madrid's team or Barcelona's team. Silva, he could have gone literally anywhere and demanded ridiculous sums of money. But he didn't. All of them chose Chelsea because of Frank Lampard. Actually, just quickly, speaking on Silva, his wife is fucking hilarious. There was an Instagram thing, and it was name your team's biggest rival without mentioning their name, and Thiago Silva's wife put my team's rival that doesn't win trophies. And I thought it was fucking hilarious. But going back to it, these players wouldn't be here. We moaned against Morecambe because we didn't play the youth. Who played against Morecambe? Gilmore, Mount, Hudson-Odoi. None of them would have played under any previous managers. Sarri got pressured into playing Hudson-Odoi when it came out he was going to go Bayern Munich. All of a sudden, he started playing him. Whereas Lampard has given God knows how many players a chance. I really do need to reel them off and list them. So, actually, you know what? I'm going to do it now. I'm going to list them now on the fly. So, the obvious ones are Callum, Mace, Tammy, Reese, Billy. I'm going to count Pulisic in this, because although he's not an academy graduate, he's still only 21 years old. Havertz is still 21 years old. But if we're going, all right, actually, you know what? Scratch them. We'll go Cobham only. Gerhi played in the first team. So has Martson. So did Lamptey before he went to Brighton. Tarek Lamptey. We had Andrin has played multiple times. We had Broja. How do you pronounce? I don't know how you pronounce his name. Who else have we had play? Tomori. I'm forgetting Tomori. Christensen came for our academy, which I know weren't truly Lampard because he played under Conte, but he's still an academy player. I can't think of any more at the moment, but that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's 12 academy players that have played under Lampard. And people are moaning that we didn't play Soontak Bell or Livramento, Bate, Lawrence. Like, the point is, under Lampard, they will get their chance. It's certain they will get their chance. And at the end of the day, people need to calm down, because we did play youth against Morecambe. We play youth every fucking week now. But they're such established first teamers now, no one calls them youth anymore. When in reality, they are still. That's exactly what they are. They are still youth players. And they're in their second season in the first team for a majority of them. Third, if like for Hudson-Odoi. But even then, he missed nearly a full year due to an injury. Like, another one. Actually, yeah, another one. Loftus-Cheek. He's played under Lampard before he went on loan. So, at the end of the day, as I said, these players wouldn't get a chance. And it's been proven for years under other managers. So that's another good thing he's done. There's too many for me to name right now. But ultimately, everyone's going to have their own opinion on the matter. And as I said, I haven't found a single person who's been able to give me a valid reason as to why they want him out. They just, all they say is, oh, I just want him gone. And that's not a valid reason. But at the end of the day, they've got their opinion. A lot of them do it behind faceless accounts anyway. Likes and a retweet and for a reaction. So it is what it is. But one last thing on Lampard. We are the Shed. They, as you know, they did a fundraiser for the banner to hang up in the stadium in Lampard We Trust. The banner cost £1,000 and they raised about £2,000. So the other £1,000, they donated to the Felix Project, which is a food, like, it's a food thing that Reece James is a part of. Giving food to basically people who need it. And Lampard, yesterday, I think it was, might have been the day before, just point blank donated £2,000 straight out of his own pocket. Now, a lot of the reactions I've seen are either one of two things. That either it's extremely generous, which it is, because he didn't have to do it, let's be real. But the main one that I've seen people do or say is that, oh, you could afford to donate 2 million while you only donate 2,000. Well, at the end of the day, he didn't have to donate a penny. So just be grateful for what he has donated rather than what he could donate. Because at the end of the day, he, as I said, he didn't have to. But 2,000 or 200 or 2 million, it doesn't matter. The point is the generosity and the fact that he cares and the fact that he's actually in touch with the supporters and, like, knows about stuff like that. And it's a nice change to having managers and players who are just so distant from everyone. Whereas, like, one of the podcasts I listen to, London is Blue, Mount does their intro. Like, it's Mount saying, welcome to the London is Blue podcast. He's done, I don't know if he's done it, but he was meant to do a podcast with Alex Goldberg. Reese has done a podcast with Alex Goldberg. Like, there's so many interactions now with the players, and I think it's brilliant. I really do. It's about time, basically. But that's where I'm going to leave it, guys. Thank you so much for listening. If you did enjoy it, please give me a share. That'll be amazing. It'll help me out big time, and it'll mean the absolute world to me. Follow me on Twitter at CookCO4. That is COOKEC04. And until next time, guys, blue is the colour, and I will speak to you later. Goodbye.